Good morning, everybody. Glad you're here. Did you know, I was reading this just yesterday. Studies have proven that people who consistently attend church, compared to those who don't, people who consistently attend church have better marriage and family relationships, experience less anxiety and depression, have lower blood pressure, boosted immune systems, and live with a deeper purpose and meaning in life. It's almost like doing what God says is good for you, right? What we do when we gather as followers of Jesus is important. It's important that you gather with other Christians. So I'm glad you're here. I believe God has a message for you today. In week two of Give Me the Hill Country, we are looking at this old man, this crazy, irrational old man who had a choice. Really, he had the first choice, and he chose, of the two options he had, he chose the more difficult option. He chose the more challenging option. He chose the option that was going to, in the short run, make him a lot more uncomfortable. See, in Israel, if you've ever been there, if you ever think about going, you should go. Probably not today. It's kind of a bad day in Israel, and you should pray for God's people in Israel. But if you ever get the opportunity to go, there's basically two kinds of land in Israel. There's the valleys, the fertile valleys, and the alluvial plains where there's water, and you can grow everything there. The Israelite people grow everything in the valleys and in the plains. And it's easy there because the water is abundant, the soil is fertile, you can grow crops, you can raise animals. It's just an easier, more fruitful life than the other kind of country, and that's the hill country. Now, the hill country is not like what you think of hill country. It's not like Fredericksburg, okay? It's not like the pretty hill country down around San Antonio. It's not like that. This is harsh, rugged, difficult land. It is much more difficult to eke out a living in the hill country than in the plains. The water is harder to come by. The soil is full of rocks. It's not flat. It's slanty and slopey. It's just way more difficult on the hill country. And we're going to read this old man's story. And I want to bring you up to date so we're all on the same page and give you just a little bit of context. We're about to read this story, or a part of his story, and this is 45 years after God's people have been set free from slavery. They were, for generation after generation, slaves in Egypt. God sends Moses. They are all free now. They had a choice to make, you know, go and take the land God has promised or not, and they chose not. God wasn't happy with this decision, and so he said, okay, we're going to wait for everybody who didn't want to go. We're going to wait for you to die. So for 40 years, God's people waited for everybody to die. The only two that lived were Joshua and Caleb. So after that 40 years, they go in, they start to take the land back and fulfill God's promise. And for 5 years, they battled these enemies. At the end of the 5 years, almost all the enemies have been defeated. Almost all the land has been set free. There's still some things to deal with. But it comes time for Joshua, who's the leader, to divide up the land amongst the 12 ancestral tribes. So everybody's going to get a fair share of their land. And Caleb, who's been with this story now for 45 years, actually 85 years, he gets first choice. And so the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 14, a delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, he came to Joshua at Gilgal. Now, don't get all hung up on the weird names, okay? They're interesting, but it's not the story. Caleb said to Joshua, remember what the Lord said to Moses, that man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea 45 years ago. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report, but my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, Caleb says, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God, wholeheartedly. So that day, Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land, and that of your descendants forever. This is relevant today. Watch the news. This promise is being threatened today. It's going to be your land forever. The land of your descendants, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. And now here's Caleb's summary statement. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he has promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the desert, in the wilderness. Today, I'm 85 years old, and I'm as strong now as I was then when Moses sent me on that journey. And I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. Now, don't go forward, Beth. Stay right there. Because if Caleb was smart like us, if Caleb wanted what most people want like us, if Caleb had an active brain cell in this moment, he would have said, all right, all of that I just said, I have built my case for me. And here's what I want. I want the valley. I want that fertile soil so I can retire and kick back and relax so that the ground is easy to plow, so that animals are easier to raise. I'm ready to relax. Give me the easy land. But no! In his next statement, Caleb says, all those things, 85 years old, been faithful, give me the hill country. Give me the more difficult land. Give me the challenging land. Give me the land where I'm going to have to work harder than everyone else just to live. I don't understand this sentiment. I don't understand this request, because I promise you, as all those tribes were gathering to get their section of land, I promise you, just because we're all human, we all kind of think the same. Knowing that Caleb had the first choice, everybody else was thinking, well, Caleb's going to pick the plains where it's easy, where it's fertile, where he's going to pick the good land, so we got to just prepare ourselves to live in the harsh country, to be hill country folk. We got to be ready for that. I promise you, when he said, no, give me the hill country, everybody kind of went, sucker, what a dummy. What's he thinking? Give me the hill country. Give me the hard country. And it's not just that. The war wasn't over yet. You will remember, Caleb says to Joshua, that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. He's reminding Joshua, up there in the hill country, which I want, the descendants of Anak lived there in big walled cities. The descendants of Anak were giant people, like literally huge people. And not just that, but Caleb ends his request by saying, but if the Lord is with me, but perhaps the Lord will help me. I will drive them out of the land just as the Lord said. Maybe God will help, maybe he won't, but either way, I want the hill country. I want the challenge of the difficulty. So Joshua, the Bible says, blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave Hebron, which is the big city in the hill country, to him as his portion of land. The Bible counts it a blessing. Okay, the Bible uses the word blessed. It was a blessing for Caleb to live in the more difficult place. It was a blessing for Caleb to have a bigger challenge than the rest. It was a blessing for Caleb to be in the hill country. Now there's something that Caleb and Joshua understood that maybe we've forgotten, or maybe we don't want to think about. That It is in those difficulties and in those hardships and in the things that make us uncomfortable, right in the middle of all that somewhere, are God's blessings. Caleb understood that. So just to recap, give me the hill country is to recognize and embrace the truth that the more difficult the option, it usually adds the most value to your life. The more difficult option usually adds more value to your life. Think of it like this. It's easier to sit on the couch and eat Funyuns than it is to go work out at the gym, right? Maybe. Mostly speaking, which one adds more value to your life? The hard choice, the difficult choice, the challenging choice. You have to challenge your body for it to be stronger. You have to give your body difficulties for it to grow. Give Me the Hill Country understands that embracing hardship, challenges, discomfort, and difficulties, this is the pathway to the life, the full life that God promised. Jesus told his followers one day, there's basically two paths you can walk in life. And one of them is broad and really smooth, and it's easy to travel, and most people travel that road. But if you keep walking on the end of that road, you're going to find, he uses the word, destruction. So there's a big, easy path, big, easy way. You get to the end, you're dead. But there's this small, Jesus used the word narrow, Jesus used the word rocky, and Jesus used the word difficult. There is a small, narrow, rocky, difficult path. It's hard to travel, and very few will do it. But when you get to the end of that road, there's life. The more difficult pathway led to life, according to Jesus. Give Me the Hill Country is to realize that almost everything good in my life is the direct result of rejecting an easy path and choosing a more difficult path. I bet if we could sit down and just look at your life, if we could start to analyze the decisions you've made over the years, that almost everything good in your life is the result of you didn't take the easy way out when you had the option. You chose the more difficult path. And as a result, something good has come of it. It's interesting to me, I had an interesting conversation this week with a parent who didn't have their own kids, they adopted kids. And I think parents who have adopted children probably understand this hill country idea better than I ever will. To go through life without having kids, you know, I had four. If I wouldn't have had any, I'd have had a lot more money, y'all. I wouldn't be as gray. I am gray up here. You just can't tell. I can still grow hair. Don't judge me. But it's gray. I'd have more money. I would have had less stress. Promise you less heartache and heartbreak. But to adopt a child into your life knowing this is going to be hard, this is going to cost a lot of money, this is going to, someday this kid's going to break my heart, but the value added because we made that hard decision. Do nothing or bring a child in. The value added to that family could not be calculated, right? You understand that? That sometimes when you make that hard choice, when you reject the easy path, somewhere down the line, the hard choice reaps these great benefits, these great blessings that maybe you can't even understand right now. Maybe you can't see them right now. So give me the hill country. My hope is that when we're done with this series in 5 more weeks, that we will all be able to identify and to recognize the dozens of opportunities that we will have every day, believe it or not. Every day you have the opportunity to take an easy path, take a difficult path. And I hope, bless you, that we can learn to identify those. And that when we do, when we identify, oh, this is an opportunity here for me to take an easy way or to take a difficult way, I hope we will all understand and remember, you know what? If I choose the more difficult path, it's going to be harder now, but later it's going to pay off. So that we would embrace those difficult moments and choose those difficult moments because that's where the blessings are. 5 years of research. A massive research project has been going on for the last 5 years on human beings and their well-being. And the conclusion of that study has taught us this. Human beings are at their best, physically harder, mentally tougher, and spiritually sounder after experiencing discomfort and challenge. It takes discomfort, it takes challenge to grow us, to shape us. So that's the intro. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some very specific areas that you will consistently have the opportunity to choose. Easy way, hard way. You're going to have these choices every day of your life. And the first one we looked at very briefly last week was character or comfort. It's a choice we're going to have every day. The choices we make are either building our character or they're increasing our comfort. Character is built on challenges. Character is built on hardship. Character is built on all those things that we try to avoid to be more comfortable. And so we have opportunities every day to choose character or comfort. Today we're going to look at the choice between generosity or greed. And as Americans, this is a choice that we will face, I think, more blatantly, more often than any other people who follow Jesus. We have this opportunity more because we have so much more. To live with generosity or to live with greed. One is easy, one is comfortable. Most people do it. One is challenging and can be uncomfortable. And very few people do it. Now, greed is more than more. Does that make sense? We think greed is give me more, give me more, I want more, I want more, I want more, and that's what makes us greedy, but that's not biblical greed. Biblical greed is to live as if all I have is all for me. Like everything I have is all for me. That's greed. All my time is all for me. That's greed. All my talent is all for me. That's greed. All my stuff is all for me. That's greed. All my money is all for me. That's greed. And it's easy, right? That's an easy assumption to make. It's an easy trap to fall into. Generosity is living with the knowledge that all I have is all from God. This takes some humility, but when you embrace this truth, it is liberating that all you have is all from God. That is the most liberating way to live your life. When you recognize that all your time is all from God, it's easier to give it away. When you recognize that all my talents are all from God, it's easier to give them away. When you recognize that all my stuff and all my money is really all from God because He gave me the ability, He gave me the opportunities. It's all from God. And God expects me to share. We could spend hours looking at the scriptures at all the times that God expects us, asks us, demands, commands that we share all that we have. Every day, you're going to be faced to live with this choice. Walk the easy path of greed. All I have is all for me. Or walk the narrow, rocky, difficult to travel path of all I have is all from God. And He's asked me to share. So I'm going to share. Now, no spoilers alert in case you haven't figured it out. Greed is the easy pathway that leads to destruction. Generosity is the hard pathway that leads to a blessed life. Let me tell you how you walk the easy path. The path of greed, it's very easy for you to do. Just do you. Boo-boo. You came hardwired from the factory with greed, with an idea, with the belief that all I have is all for me, and maybe all you have is all for me too. Right? You know that. If you've ever seen a child, you know it's true. We come hardwired for greed. And so if you want to walk that pathway, just do nothing. Just live your life. And schedule like all you have is all for you. And budget like all you have is all for you. And treat people like all you have is all for you. It's easy. You don't even have to try. Not trying not recognizing where all those good things come from, just takes you down the path of greed that leads to destruction. There's a better way, and it's a harder way, because generosity takes effort. Generosity might mean a sacrifice. Generosity takes work and intentionality. 100 years ago, when the attacks on the World Trade Center happened, and God had called me to go, it's a big long story I'll share. I've shared it with some of you. You probably have not heard my story, but I was, the next day on September 12th, I was going to get in a car and drive to New York City. And I called one of my friends, CB. I said, CB, I'm going to New York City. I need some money. He's one of those guys you could just tell that to, and he would help you. So he came over, he wrote me a big check, prayed over me, sent me on my way. About an hour later, CB comes back, and he's crying his face off. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Do you need your money back? I gotta go. CB says, that money I gave you was just extra, and it didn't cost me anything to give you that money. It wasn't a sacrifice. And he wrote me a check for twice what he had given before. He said, now I'm being generous. Before it was easy. I need to make a sacrifice. Generosity is sacrificial, and it's hard, and it makes you uncomfortable. So I want us to learn a lesson from the wisest human being who ever lived. His name was Solomon, and thank God Solomon wrote down a lot of the stuff that he learned in his time following the God of the universe. One of the sections of scripture that he wrote is the book of Proverbs, and he has a lot to say about money. He says in Proverbs chapter 11, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. The New Living Translation, let's read that one because I like the way it phrases this. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And one more, if you don't mind, I want to read it to you from the Message translation because it's beautiful. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. And I got two quotes I couldn't not share with you. Andy Stanley says this, by nature, the concept of generosity is in direct conflict with the concept of self-preservation. It's so true. It's why generosity is so difficult, because we are all so concerned about ourselves that it's difficult to be generous because it stands in opposition to self. And then a man named Gordon MacDonald said this, generous giving is not about doling out extra amounts of money. It is about reorienting the human heart in the direction of Christ so that we can become transmitters of the same affection and care that Christ modeled in his time. In other words, generosity is not about money, it's about your heart and recognizing where all your good things came from. Now, I want to look at that scripture again, Proverbs 11:24. Give freely, become more wealthy. Be stingy, lose everything. That sounds pretty inspiring to me. Truth is, we don't believe it. Those are nice words on our screen. Those are nice words in our Bible. But the truth is, Christians don't believe that. Not you guys, not the people in the building, and not you guys on YouTube, but people at other churches. They don't believe that. According to Pew Research, The average American Christian gives 2.5% of their income to God's kingdom. God requires 10. Most of us give 2.5. 21% of American Christians serve their church consistently. 79% do not. When Jesus commanded us to serve. By and large, most Christians don't believe that if you are generous, you will be more wealthy. And that if you are stingy, you're going to lose everything. Most of us don't believe that practically, actually, in the way we spend our time and in the way we spend our money. Most Christians live like, God, you can have this tiny little bit, and all the rest is all for me. Comes to our money and our stuff. God, you can have this tiny little bit, but all the rest is all for me. And Solomon says, that's a path that just leads to you losing it all. Jesus says, that's the path to destruction. The truth is, most of us, as Christians, most of us are settling for an easy, comfortable path where I can have all I have, all for me. Or at the very worst, I can have the vast majority of all I have being all for me. Now, I don't want to hurt your feelers, okay? That is not my goal today. I don't want to pile guilt on you. That is not my goal at all today. I don't want you to feel shame. I don't want you to feel pressured. I don't want any of that for you. What I want for you is for you to have a blessed life. That's what I want for you as your pastor. I want you to be prosperous and blessed. I want you to have an abundant, full life. I want you to walk that crazy, hard, difficult, rocky path that Jesus laid out before us. Because the bottom line is, a generous life is a blessed life. If you want God's blessings, they come on the path of generosity. It's the harder path, but it's the path with the blessings. Now, I don't know if you saw this or not, but I want to make sure we see this before we leave today. Proverbs 11:24, a generous person will prosper. That's a promise. That's a money-back guarantee that when we live generously, we will prosper. Isn't that what you want? Isn't it? If you want God's blessings, they come from walking his path. And his path is hard. And every day you're going to have to choose. Live like all I have is all for me. Schedule like all I have is all for me. Spend like all I have is all for me. Or recognize that all I have is all from God, and he asks me, he expects me, he demands of me that I share. So all of my time, give me some hill country. I'll share. All of my money, give me some hill country. I'll share. All of my talent, give me some hill country. I'll share. Here's for me. Sorry, guys, this is a little bit extra. Might have called you up a little too early. But here's for me what I think is the most amazing thing about living in the hill country and about Caleb's choice. When he could have chose the easy path, the easy life, he chose the harder path, the more difficult path, not knowing what was going to come next. Caleb had no idea if God was going to help him or not. He just wanted to be in a place where God could bless him. And generation after generation after generation of his people lived in that hill country. And one day, about 2,000 years ago, in a tiny little town in the hill country called Bethlehem, the Son of God shared his life with us. Bethlehem is in the heart of Caleb's hill country. That can't be a coincidence, can it? That can't be accidental, can it? That 1,300 years before Jesus was born, one of his ancestors said, no. I want the difficult land because I know God's going to do something great there. I don't know what it is now. I can't see it now, but that's where God's blessings are going to come from. And you sit here today. If you have a home in heaven, it physically came from somebody born as a result of somebody else making a really hard decision, a more difficult decision. So when you are faced with an easy way out or the difficult option, 99 times out of 100, the difficult option leads to the blessing. Give me the hill country. You pray with me? Let's pray and we'll worship with these guys. Lord, when I look at this man and this crazy decision to choose what was more difficult, less comfortable, at the time it had to seem crazy. It seems crazy to me. But I have the gift of looking back and knowing a little bit of the history. You took that decision. Not only did you bless Caleb, not only did you bless his family and his descendants and his generation, but you blessed me because of his decision to take the hill country. You blessed me with a Savior born in the hill country. So when I am given the choice, when I am given the option of an easy way out or a difficult way, help me to remember that somewhere down the line, the difficult path is what pays off. The difficult path is where your blessings are found. May we embrace that and live that in Jesus' name.